Praise God, this is Sunday morning, October the 10th, 2010, 10-10-10. And we're turning to Luke chapter 9 at verse 23. And he said to them all, this is Jesus speaking now, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same will save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his holy glory, in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. Now, going back to verse 23, if any man will come after me, basically, if you follow him, if you're a disciple, this is what we have to do. We don't really have a choice if we're a disciple. That's what a disciple does. A disciple follows the one he's being discipled by. I'm a disciple, and I'm a disciple by choice. You don't, you know, when you come into this army, you're not recruited and made to come. You come by choice. You choose to be a disciple. You choose to join this army of believers. You choose to go to heaven. But Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to come after me or follow me, you have to do this. You have to do this. This is the prerequisite, you might say. This is the challenge, the great challenge of being a believer and being a disciple of Christ, the one that has already decided they're making heaven their home for eternity. See, my eternity began at the age of 22. That's why I don't think I'm old. That's why I think I'm still 22. That's why I still act like I'm 22. Because that's when my eternity began. And you know what? Eternity started right there for me. My whole life changed right there at the age of 22. Trees looked like trees. The grass was green. The sky was blue. I heard birds differently. I saw life completely in a new realm because I entered into the kingdom of heaven realm. So my life just started. Even though I was born in 1955, I didn't really start living the divine nature life, the eternal life, until 1978. And it was a challenge. From that moment on, I determined, this is the challenge, this is the determination. I'm an overcomer because he overcame. But I read this verse. You know, did you ever walk along a road and sometimes you get your toe stubbed or you trip, you fall in a ditch, or you kind of get back up and you start walking again? Well, this is sometimes something in a road of being a disciple that people have a hard time with right here. But this has got to be the first hurdle you overcome to be a disciple. You got to do this. You've got to determine that your life is not going to be about you anymore. Your life is not going to be about you. This life cannot be about me anymore. I cannot be the center of my universe anymore. That's what this is talking about. You've got to see it that it's not about you anymore. Yeah, God wants you to go to heaven. Yes, he wants you victorious. Yes, he wants you to be blessed beyond measure. Yes, he came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Yes, all the promises are yes and amen. Everything is all belongs to you. The greater one is in you now. But we have to remember this is a selfless way. This is not a self way. This is a selfless way of life. And you've got to learn that you are not the center of the universe anymore. I'm not the center of the world anymore. You know who is? Jesus is. Jesus is the center of my universe. Jesus is the center of my life. He is my everything. He's my all in all. I belong to him and he belongs to me. He died for me. He owns me now. I'm his property. You might think of it that way. I don't own myself anymore. I don't belong to me any longer. I belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I have surrendered my wants, my wishes, and my desires over to him. That's a denied life, is what that is. That's what Jesus did. He was our example. He was the captain of our salvation. He was the author. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. He began the good work in me, and he will complete it. He started this whole, he saved the world 2,000 years ago. Salvation came at the cross. Salvation came with the blood. Salvation came when God raised him from the dead. That's when salvation hit planet Earth. True salvation. So if you really want to be saved, the first person you got to be saved from is you. It's got to begin with you. Salvation has to start in you. Because you'll destroy yourself if you don't get yourself right here. Right here is where I had to come, to the cross. I had to bring me to the cross all the time. I had to bring me to the cross all the time. I'm going to deny myself again, Lord. Okay, let's just crucify this flesh right here at the cross, because that's where you crucified your flesh. Sometimes I got to deny me. Now, let's say they did me so bad. They did me so wrong. Well, yeah, they said that about me. Can you believe? Well, I'm not surprised, because guess what? I have an accuser of the brethren who accuses me before my God day and night. The Bible says he's busy about his work. He's a good devil. He's going to continue to accuse us. He's going to continue to make us look bad. That's his job. Don't be surprised that the devil's a good devil in your life. In fact, the more you serve God, the closer you walk with God, the more the enemy sees you as a threat, and the harder he will come after you. I was reading this book. I just picked it up. In fact, it was on the shelf out here. I picked it up and was just thumbing through it. And there was something that he brought out, how that the devil doesn't himself believe that anybody could possibly live a selfless life. He doesn't think, the devil does not believe and does not think that human beings are anything but selfish. He doesn't expect you and I to be selfless. He expects us, he totally believes that you're selfish because he's selfish. He cannot imagine a human being being like Jesus. He just can't see it. So that's why he knows he's got the upper hand. He walks around thinking, I got them. I know how to take care of them. I'll just get them thinking about themselves. I'll start using something against them that makes them think about poor me, poor this and poor that, and get them all wrapped up in me. And I got them right where I want them. Because he knows that's our weakness, to be about us. He just expects you and I to be selfish. And he targets that. That's his target, is a self. That's what he did to Adam and Eve in the garden. That was the very first problem. God knew that if they ate of the tree, that they would die. God told him, said, the day you eat thereof, you're going to die. Well, the thing that the devil came along and says, the day you eat of it, you will be like God. Think about yourself. Think about the benefit to you. Think of what you're going to get out of eating that fruit. God just doesn't want you to be smart like him. So he targeted the one thing about us that we're so common, so one thing that's in common with all of us, is the self. We think about us. What did he say about Job? He told God, he said, yeah, he worships God, but you touch his flesh. You just touch his flesh and see if he doesn't curse you to your face. You see, that's the thing. The devil just cannot believe that this could be possible right here, that anyone could ever be a selfless life. Could live like this, denying myself, come after Jesus and deny myself and take up my cross daily. Do you know what your cross daily? I'm getting more revelation all the time about the cross daily. Do you know what the cross daily is? The cross daily, number one thing, the cross daily, and I'm taking you to it. I'm going to take you to it right now, what the cross daily is. Go with me to Matthew. And this is not in my notes, but it just came to me. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. This is taking up your cross. This is our cross. This is what we have to bear. This is our cross, daily our cross. Jesus said, but he replied, it has been written, man shall not live. I mean, I happen to live every day. This is a daily life. I have to get up every day and live. Some days I don't want to go on living. Some days I just want to go to bed and just not wake up. Ever been there? I've been there many times. And the thing is, I can't live by anything but this right here. I have to live daily and be upheld and sustained by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth out of the mouth of God. This is where I take up my cross, right here. That I have to determine. I had to determine, first of all, I'm going to do this. And this is a selfless life. That I'm not going to listen to my own thoughts and my own ideas and my own wants and my own wishes. I'm going to go back to the Word and believe the Word of God on every issue, whatever it is. And God's Word covers everything. So I'm going to deny myself. First of all, I've decided I'm going to follow Jesus. And to follow Jesus means I'm going to have to put me and my ideas and ideology down and go back to the Word and take up my cross and look what the Word says and make up my mind to believe the Word of God over what I think, what I feel, what someone else thinks or what someone else feels about me or what the circumstance looks like or what it even says in my face. I have to go to the Word. That's what I have to daily live by. I carry the Word every day of my life, in my mouth, in my sword. The Word of God is a sword in your mouth. Did you know that? And that's my cross. That's the Christian's cross. You and I cannot, not ever do this. To die yourself, take up your cross. Okay, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to put me down, and I'm going to pick up the Word. I'm going to live by the Word. If I don't know what's going on, you said that the Holy Spirit would be given to me and He would lead me and guide me into your Word, your truth. I can always be assured that the Holy Ghost will give you a truth. He'll give you a Word to walk in and live in, because the living is a part of your walking, and the living in the Word is part of you denying yourself and living by the Word is your cross. Do y'all see that? That's the truth. I just have to go here. And do you know what happens when you do this? Then you can go now with me. Before I go here, I want to go to Galatians 6:7. Powerful truth. Then I'm going to go to 1 John. Galatians 6, verse 7. Why it's so important to get this and understand this. Taking up the cross. Denying yourself. For one thing, the Lord knows to follow Him, it can't be done any other way. He's the trailblazer. He was the one that blazed this trail to heaven. He's the one who made access to heaven for us. So chapter 6, verse 7 makes a pretty profound statement. Be not deceived. The devil's greatest job, greatest tactic is to deceive us. He is the great deceiver. And it says, be not deceived. Deception is his tactics. That's his guerrilla warfare. That's the way he gets over us and gets on us and deceives us and beats us up and makes us feel like we're nothing. If you will believe what the devil says about you rather than what God says about you, well, you'll be deceived. And you'll believe it. If you believe what the devil says over what God says, guess what? You'll be depressed. You'll be down. You'll be a down and outer. You'll never feel like you've got any good in you. You'll never feel like you're fearfully and wonderfully made, because the devil ain't going to come along and tell you you're fearfully and wonderfully made. That you're apple of God's eyes. That He's written and engraven you in the palm of His hand. That He loves you with all of His heart. He wants to raise you up and make you mighty in the earth. And He wants to make your seed mighty in the earth. I could go on and on and on what the Word of God says about me. Because I've received it. That's part of my denying me and taking up my cross, is believing the Word of God. In Jonah, he said in chapter 2, I believe it's verse 2, he said, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. You know, I used to do that on a regular basis. I forsook my own mercy because I would not believe the Word of God and live by that, and I would believe the feelings, the emotions, the thoughts from my past, all the bad things that ever happened to me can just come right back in my face. I don't know if that ever happens to you or not. Oh, you're just reliving that in life. No one loves you. No one cares. I mean, does everybody go through this? Yes. We're all in the same boat. We're all in the same skin. We're human beings. And the devil has been doing the same thing for thousands of years to all human beings. He is the great deceiver. And if he can deceive you into believing something besides the Word of God, he's got you. That's Galatians 6, Walter. Galatians 6. I mean, you can take the Word of God and apply it to anything in life. And whatever the Word says you can have, if you can believe it, you can have it. Period. If the Word says, by His stripes you were healed, if you believe that with all your heart and confess it with your mouth, you will have that, what He said. But it's the believing part the enemy works so overtime. Because he wants to deceive you. He wants you to look at the symptoms. He wants you to look at the situation. He wants to look at the problem. And that's bigger than the Word of God. Believe this. Don't believe the Word. Don't live by the Word of God that comes out of the mouth of God. But live by the situation. Look at it. Deal with it. Get you in the way. But you got to deny you. You got to die to you. Be not deceived. The next part of that says, God is not mocked. Now, Adam and Eve didn't know that. Adam and Eve did not know God would not be mocked. It's impossible to make fun of what God has said. In other words, God can never lie. So if Adam and Eve, and they heard God clearly, the day you eat thereof, you're going to die. But to not believe that was like making fun of God. It's like, nah, 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 nah. No, that's not true. Well, it is true. Anything God says, if you don't believe it, you're being deceived. And it will be exactly like He said. The day you eat thereof, He said, you'll die. Well, they didn't believe that. They were mocking God by eating of that tree, basically, is what it was about. They chose to be deceived. They believed a lie. And they rebelled against God. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. We shall reap. What? The Word. We're going to reap the benefits of the Word of God if we do not faint. We will reap the benefits because God will not be mocked. Whoever puts their life on that platform of the Word is going to reap. Beaver's right there screaming at you and me, screaming at us. It isn't working. It doesn't work. God doesn't care. It's not the Word's just, you know, it's just people's ideas about God. Whatever He can tell you that you will, He thinks you'll bite on, or He'll take a nibble on, like fishing. Let's nibble on, see if she'll nibble on this bait. Let's see if she'll look at this for a while. I just got to keep myself in the Word. I got to keep the Word in my heart, keep the Word in my eyes, keep the Word in my mouth. He said, like Joshua 1:8, let it not depart. Don't let it depart. I can't let the Word get out of my mouth and out of my eyes. I got to meditate therein day and night. I got to stay in the Word and believe the Word of God. I got to keep pumping the Word, keep pumping the Word, keep pumping the Word. It's like my life depends on this. I know what it's like to be deceived. I know what it's like to be depressed. I know what it's like to want to kill people. I know what it's like to be there. I don't want to be there again. I've been on the other side too long, the denying myself side, picking up the cross side. That ain't easy, but that's better than there. It's way better than there because I got a destiny. I've got a home I'm looking forward to. I'm going to live forever. This life is not forever. Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and he lost his soul? That's a no-brainer to me. Ain't that a no-brainer? It's just we got to get us out of the way, get ourselves out of the way, and start believing the Word of God. My God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, when he says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, this is a law of sowing and reaping. Remember I shared a couple Sundays ago how that every seed has its own DNA? Every seed has its own DNA. Every seed has its own blueprint. So every seed we sow to the flesh, we can count on it to bring forth. The earth was given an assignment. It'll bring forth. The Word, whatever you sow, it's going to bring forth, whether it's of the flesh or it's of the Spirit. Praise God. Isn't this good? Now, I'm going to take us to 1 John. 1 John. And I'm going to just share a few scriptures about denying self. And this is, you know, no one said it would be easy. No one told me it would be easy to serve God. In fact, crucifying your flesh is the hardest thing you'll ever do. And trusting and believing the word is the hardest labor you'll ever labor. Believing God's word over your circumstances. Believing God's word in the midst of problems. Believing God's word. But it's very possible and it's very doable. You got to look at everything the enemy brings to you as an attack and an assault. And either you're going to agree with him or you're going to agree with God. Who are you going to live by? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the devil, the deceiver, Or are you going to walk by and believe and live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? It really is cut and dry, dark and light, good and evil. God's word will not be mocked. You will reap if you, whatever you believe, that's what you're going to reap thereof. Your believer will put you over. Your believing will put you over, but your believing will also destroy you because you're going to reap whatever you're sowing to. That's pretty powerful, actually. It's very powerful because the earth has been given an assignment to bring forth. We are the ones who sow the seed. We're the ones who are sowing either of our to our flesh, believe in the word, either believe in the enemy or believe in the word. Do you know the devil talks to us constantly? I don't know if you realize it or not, but we are bombarded, totally bombarded every day with thoughts. And the enemy will interject a thought in your mind on a first-person basis, and you will think it was your thought, and it's not even your thought. And then you have to reject it. I've learned to hit the reject button. There's a reject button in my brain that if it doesn't, it's like I've got the word. Here's the word. Da-da-da-da. Here's the word. A thought comes, and my brain takes it right to the word. Okay, this is what the word says about that. Reject. If you really do have control of your thought life, if you want to, and you have to. That's a commandment. Take up your cross daily. Live by the word daily. Believe the word over everything that the enemy brings to us. He's the deceiver. And he also is the accuser of the brethren. He comes and accuses me of all kinds of crazy things. You know, you didn't do this right. And you didn't do that right. And you just made a mess of this. And you made a mess of that. And you shouldn't have done this with your kids. And you messed up your kids' lives. And you know, I'm telling you, he tells you stuff. He continues to accuse you of things you did 25 years ago. You know, stuff under the blood. He's still accusing me of stuff. That's amazing. Am I telling the truth here or not? But we have to learn how to get the word of God in our heart and in our mouth. Now, in 1 John 5, I'm going to go to 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to go to 5 verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Chapter 5 verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. The Amplified says, for whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. So the minute you were born again, the very second you were born again, that happened to me at age 22, whatever time in life it happened, that moment that birth took place in us, we became victorious. Period. Period. Didn't feel like it. Didn't look like it. Didn't seem like it. Doesn't matter. I've learned how to deny myself, what I think about something, and take up my cross, which is to take up the word and believe the word of God and follow Jesus. And sometimes we don't get a word on something immediately. Sometimes we don't have an answer to a situation immediately. Sometimes we don't have revelation. I certainly didn't have all the revelation I have now, 32 years ago. This is a growing process, a maturing process. I'm still maturing in the things of God every day. Every day we all are growing a little bit more. Now some of us take a few steps back, but we really do have no choice but to keep going forward and learning and more. Because the promise is we are victorious, period. That's your stand. No matter how you feel, how you think, what goes on, you're victorious. You just have to deny yourself. That's the hardest thing. Taking up your cross, which is believing the word, deny yourself, because I'm going to give you a secret here. You cannot believe this word with you in the way. Can't. Because you're always comparing yourself to this word. You cannot compare you and your life to this word. You've got to compare Jesus and heaven to this word, because you're not here anymore. You're in heavenly places now. This word only works to the believer that believes it in its heart, confesses it with their mouth. It isn't based on what I think, is what I'm trying to say. It's not based on what other people say. This is His word. God is not mocked. I'm not going to be deceived. It'll always work. Always. Always, always, always. And I'm already provided, I've already given the victory. I've already got the victory right now. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Guess what overcometh the world? Your faith. My faith is what's going to overcome. See, you've got things in your world I don't have to overcome. Thank God I got enough to deal with on my own. My world has enough stuff to keep me busy. Believe in God. Your world has enough stuff to believe God for. That's what I believe maturity is all about, is when other people can look at you and see your mess and see you victorious. They're saying, hey, there's a victorious one. There's an overcomer. There's someone who's maturing in the things of God. There's one. There's a real true disciple and a real true believer who has learned how to deny their self and take up the word, take up the cross, and follow Jesus in life. Life's a journey. It's a challenging journey in the things of the kingdom of God, but it's so awesome a way of life. So awesome a way of life. But you can't get there. You can't get to this maturing thing until you get you out of the way. And sometimes we got to chip away at us, chip away at us, chip away at things in our lives that we hold on so desperately to. The alcoholic hangs on to the drink so desperately. Oh, I just can't give that up. A lot of people have things they just feel like they just can't live without, but they can. They certainly can. I've seen alcoholics delivered. You have too. I've seen drug addictions fall off of people. You're an example of one. But it all had to start with denying us and believing the word. And this is the victory that overcomes this world and all that's in it. Our faith. Our faith. He said, David said, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Really, your faith is small. Verse 5 said, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth. This is the one who overcomes this world and all the devil's deception. All the deception of the devil. And he really is walking around right now like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's his primary focus is right now. He's deceiving everybody he can deceive. He wants to keep you depressed. He wants to keep you down and out. He doesn't want us to grow. He doesn't want to believe God. And you know what? We've got promises that we have inherited because we have been given the divine nature. By these have been given great and precious promises that we could be a partaker of the divine nature of God. I'm telling you, we've got eternal life living in us. We really are more than overcomers, more than victorious. Isn't this been good? But the deception is still the deception. And it'll always be a deception. He wants to deceive us. He wants to keep us in the blind. And you know what? He can't. He can't. You know, if you go to St. John, let's see if I can find it real quickly here. St. John, and sometimes I got to take my eyes to this. And I've got to say, Lord, because I know the word. I've spent time in this word. I've meditated on this word. I've done my denying part. I've done my following part. I've taken up my cross part. And I've gotten in the face of people and situations in my life, and I say, this is what the word says. I've pulled out the sword. I've put it under the devil's throat so many times in my life. And I say, look at the word, devil. This is what the word says to you. Jesus said, it's written. But I had to believe it in my heart, confess it with my mouth, and then I was saved from whatever it is he was trying to deceive me with. Whatever the deception is, we've got to get a word on it. We've got to find the Word. And we can't find it, but God gave us the Comforter, who had been given an assignment to stay with us, even to the end of the world, to comfort us when we're sad, to strengthen us when we're down, when we're weak. He's the Comforter. He's the Paraclete. Actually, that word Paraclete means the one that is sent to go along beside you in this life. There's things I cannot deal with, but He can do anything. He's God. I have God inside of me. I'm God inside-minded. I know how to dwell in Him and Him let Him dwell in me. When I cannot deal with the affairs of this life anymore, guess what I do? I let the overcoming one, the overcomer, the great I am, I let the one who overcome everything start showing up, and I get me out of the way, and I let Him show up and deal with the situation. I've learned how to dwell in Him and He in me. And I've allowed His Word to dwell in me, and the Word in me and out of me, and around me, out of me. I must look like a porcupine to the devil. I just must look like a porcupine. He don't want to get near me, because he's going to get stabbed with the Word, stabbed with the Word, stabbed with the Word, stabbed with the Word, because I know that's what overcomes the world. That's the victory, is the Word of God. And man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What does the Word of God say about your situation? Well, if you don't know, you better find out, because He's not holding it back. He said, I'll let you know these things. He promised you that He would let you know all things. I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him, but He hath revealed them to us through the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will reveal whatever it is you need to know about your circumstance, your situation. But now, once you know, you got to deny self and believe it. Believe it. Just believe the Word. Start applying the Word. Determine that you're going to see God show up, because He's not going to be mocked. I don't want God to be mocked in my life. I do not want God to be mocked. I don't want to mock God. I want Him to get glory out of my life. I want Him to show up in my situation. And you know what you can do? And this is so true. You can walk carefree. Because once you give it to God, and you've applied the Word, then you get you out of the way, you can be free of that thing. As long as you're in the way trying to take care of it, you're not carefree, because you still got the care. I think I preached that a couple Sundays ago, about being carefree. But St. John chapter, I want to go here real quick. Couple places. Here it is. It's in St. John chapter 14, verse 26. That's highlighted in orange, and I've got parentheses and brackets around it. In every Bible I've ever gotten, that's the first place I go. When I'm reading the Word, I start highlighting words that I know are tried and true. Tried and true promises right here. That's the first places I start marking in a new Bible. Because I want those to stand out. I keep those in front of me. I meditate on them day and night, and I believe them with my whole heart. In St. John chapter 14, verse 26, it says, but the Comforter, my Comforter. Oh, my goodness, where would I be without the Comforter? My Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things. That's a truth. That's a fact. That's not just a hope so. I know so. He teaches me all things. Well, I got a problem here. I certainly don't know how to deal with this. Well, Holy Ghost, you know, because you know all things. And you know how to teach me about this. That I have to get me out of the way, because I'm wanting to argue with God sometimes. I want to say, no, God, I don't think that's the way this should be. You get you out of the way, you die to self, and I'm telling you, God will show up and show you what to do. Am I telling the truth here? Praise God. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. See that Word of God living and abiding forever? That Word of God is what you're living by daily. You've taken up your cross, right? You know when we really get in trouble? You know, I've learned this so hard, and it's a truth that will always be. And I'm getting ready to close. But what really has got me into more trouble than anything in my Christian walk with is this right here. Because it's not happening fast enough. It doesn't look like it's working. I'm doing all the right things. I'm saying all the right things. I'm praying all the right ways. And it's still, the situation is the same. It's God's fault. It's still never God's fault. If it ain't working, there's something I need to fix. Something I'm still not doing. Still something I've not got right. I've still not got me out of the way somewhere. I've not died to this, or I've not, whatever it is, that I go right back to square one, okay? Tell me what it is, God. I really want to know. Tell me what it is I need to do. Tell me, God. I'm just going to be real honest with you here, God. Have you ever just humbled yourself? Isn't that what I shared last Sunday? Humble yourself means, okay, I give up. It's almost like you throw up the white flag and you say, okay, if I die, I just die. Have you ever done that? I've done that. If I die, I just die, God. If there's something I'm not believing right, doing right, show me. Show me. Because I want to believe your word. I want to deny myself, and I want to take up your cross, and I want that victory which overcomes the world. That kind of victory is your faith in his word. Ever just come to the end of you? I used to put it this way. Lord, I'm at the end of my rope. I'm literally at the end of me. That's a good place to be. Do you know that? When you get to the end of you, then God can catch you. Then God, and you let go of that rope, and there you are. God just catches you. All right, I'm going to surrender to you. I'm going to surrender everything over to you. I'm just going to give it to you, God. I'm going to give you this problem. I'm going to surrender to you. And I'm going to stop worrying about it. I'm going to stop talking about it. I'm going to stop thinking about it. I'm going to stop boo-hooing about it. I'm just going to not care anymore, because I'm going to give you the care. And he said, I will show you what you should do. I will teach you all things in this situation. I will bring things to remembrance. And you know, that part where he says, whatsoever I have said, this doesn't apply to the world. Be hearing from God, right? I'm hearing from God. He wakes me up in the mornings and he tells me things. He shows me things to come. In one place he said, I'll show you things to come. We have such awesome help. We have a wonderful, and even the Holy Spirit says, I'm not going to say anything but what I hear. He only speaks what Jesus tells him to say. He's our comfort. We're not here for the deception of the evil. Let me take you a couple more places. It's in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Several places about overcoming in Revelation. I didn't realize how many places it talks about overcoming. But in Revelation 2 verse 7. It says, he that hath an ear. Ooh, glory. Does that not just so go along with what I've shared? He that hath an ear. He that hath an ear. In other words, him that believes. See, to have an ear means you got to hear and you got to believe. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So the Holy Spirit is not going to say one thing to this church and one thing to another church. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you got an ear to hear, let him hear. And he says that to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. Well, when did you overcome? You overcame when you believed. You overcame when you heard the word over the deception word. That's when we overcome, when we believe the word of God over the deceiving word. I've been so heartbroken over things that have been said to me and so crushed over situations in my life. And problems and cares and worries and fears, that if I listened to those words, they would have destroyed me. But I know the victory is in believing the word of God. That's where it lies. The victory is always in believing the word. And it comes with a price. You got to deny yourself and you got to believe. Take up the cross. Isn't this good? That's life to me. Is not about me anymore. It's about the kingdom of heaven. And it's about going to heaven and taking as many people as I can with me. My life is in Jesus. And my life is not about me anymore. Not about me. It's about others. It's a life of service to other people. And I use what the things God has given me to benefit the kingdom of heaven. My stuff is not my stuff. It's just something I use to benefit God and other people. It's a life of service. That's what Jesus did. He was the example. He used things to benefit the kingdom and to build the kingdom. Most people have it totally backwards. Things that they own, things they have, they use to benefit them. That's the way it works in the world, right? Everybody wants to get all they can get, keep all they got. Well, the kingdom of heaven is you when you get to give. It's a completely different way of life. Completely different. Stuff is just something I use to get through every day for the benefit of God. To bless Him, to bless His people. I love God. Don't you love Him? Don't you love Him? Stuff doesn't own me. It just doesn't own me. I own stuff, but I don't own it. God owns it. Because He owns me. Everything belongs to Him. Father, I just seal this word. There's so many other words in scriptures. And thank You for it, God. In Jesus' name. Amen.